Ah, gosh, I love the vibration of those crystal bowls. I remember the day that I had the privilege of recording that session with a gentleman in Austin, and it brings back some deep memories. My name is Michael Wolf. Good morning, good evening, good afternoon, whether you're listening to us live or listening to us from the archives, welcome. We're very, very, very happy to have you with us today. We have an awesome topic, a topic which relates to what the heck is Paradise Mystery School and why the heck would you need a mystery school? So if you're interested in exploring the mystery of you, which is really the only mystery there is, truly, that is the only mystery there is, then you have just tuned in to perhaps the most powerful conversation on the planet at this time. So congratulations, thank you for being with us, and buckle your seatbelt. So for those of you that are brand new to this conversation, please do pause this recording or go to the Empowering Now website if you're listening to us live. It's empoweringnow.com, EmpoweringNow, empoweringnow.com, and go to the Open Meetings tab and download the latest copy of our ebook. This will help you to receive this information in a way that is not as potent without the ebook. And if you're here and you can't get it now, no worries. And we're going to begin on page 3 and then welcome our family. Paradise Circle, a gathering of ordinary people practicing deep introspection and doing shadow work to come to know ourselves and solve everyday problems. Our inquiry is based on the idea that the word is alive and that language is where our power lives. Communication is not what is said and done, but the result of what is said and done. By joining in, engaging, and coming back, we increasingly benefit from the distilled essence of an ultimate method of inquiry known as the path of expire. That inquiry is radical, as it is based on sacred geometry. Each time we honestly engage in this unlearning, the cosmos rejoices. Each time we participate in a meeting, we renew the understanding that, hey, there's only one of us. We thereby increase our capacity to love what is and to sustain the sense of enough. Whew! Okay, so, Emilio, how are you feeling today? And if anything touched you out of that reading, I'd love to hear you.
Amen. Well, first of all, it's great to be with you all. And my feeling, I'm in a very introspective mode, so I'm introspective. I think what touched me as a part of what you were talking about that ties in with what you read was the mystery. And as I look at sort of the definition of that, it's anything that's kept secret, but or remain unexplained or unknown, and most of the time unknowable except through divine revelation. And so when I think about the Paradise Circle and honestly engaging, the only way that I'm unlearn is to dive into the mystery of that which is unknown so that it's known and explainable. So that causes me in the mystery to be very introspective, and I'm blessed to be here. Thank you.
Amen. Thank you, Emo. Maha, how are you doing today?
I am uncomfortable because I am changing. I'm letting go of a part of me that has directed my life in a big way. to give it a name. I'm letting go of the pleaser mask. And as I do that, it's brand new territory. And it's like I'm seeing that I'm exercising muscles that I didn't even know I had. You know, like when you begin a new exercise program and it's like, damn it, you know, you're sore. And so that's the way I feel. And by the same token, very grateful for the possibility that this new workout is offering.
Amen to that. Amen to that. Yeah, it is a workout because if I already knew myself, I wouldn't commit murder. I wouldn't be stealing from my neighbor. I wouldn't be committing adultery or whatever. Fill in the blank. It's out of the not knowing and the idea of the mystery where these two cross paths is, how uncomfortable it is and how much we haven't been trained or equipped. Have a healthy way, a truly healthy way, beyond the misuse of spiritual power to go into shadow work together and to own the shadow and transcend the shadow in a way that is final. And that's really what we're bringing, and that connects to our agreements. And our agreements are on page 5. I'm just going to walk us through the agreements here, which are offered in the form of a code. If you're interested in the code, we'll talk a little bit about it today. We've had other shows that have very concisely explained the code. The offering here begins with the knowing that shadow work is a way for us to really break that resistance and to receive ourselves. And this is the ultimate receiving, right? The I am that I am. And the first agreement is permission. And if you're new to this, this relates to really trusting us, the me that is you, trusting myself when I speak, trusting you when you speak, and trusting when the dark night of the soul really moves me into fight. The dark night moves me into flight, which is to get the heck out. Dark night moves me to freak out. Many times for me, the dark night forces me to freeze. I just don't know what the heck is going on. When I'm confronted with my shadow and, you know, I'm caught in it, I freeze. And I'm scared to speak because I know that I'm going to freaking blow you up. But to give myself permission to freeze and to freak and to flight is really about learning to exercise that muscle you were speaking of, to risk moving into the darkness. And why do I do it? In order to bring light on how I'm misusing power and how that misuse of power prevents the force from being with me. So could we have an amen for permission in our agreements today?
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you. Thank you. And that's a big one, because from the permission, that's the doorway where I progressively own my experience. I hear the use of my you words as marks of projections onto you. And it at times feels so real that you screwed up and that you shouldn't be speaking to me the way that you ought to. And we're here to own our own experience. Can we hear an amen for this one?
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Confidentiality by request. You know, I heard this this past week a little bit more clearly, and maybe you now understand what this one says. I've been a little bit confused about what's being offered here. Here's the gig. If I share something in my shadow work with you guys, and in the middle of my work, it feels like I share too much, it's sort of a retroactive request. So now we're obviously on the internet. We're really wide open here. So in that context, please, you know that we're on the internet.
Michael, there's really more than that in confidentiality by request. I'd like to share what that means to me. What that means to me is I have had a lifelong struggle with the belief I am not enough. And what that belief landed me is a whole lot of shame. I believe that shame is a universal emotion and that all of us are confronted to it. And I believe that in my past, it is out of shame that I would say, you know, I'm sharing this with you, but I would like for you to not talk about it. I request confidentiality because I am so ashamed, for example, that I would have stolen money. I don't want anybody to know that about me. And today, I know I have been a thief. I have no issue to admit that publicly in a forum that is recorded, zero. And what that means for me is I am owning the shame and transcending it. So the invitation of this work is known as having the sense of enough, knowing that I am enough. That implies going beyond shame. And if there is anything that closes it, just have one person and that's enough, and close back the closet real quick, then shame still gets you. So it's really going way deeper in the understanding of what request by confidentiality by request means. It's really as long as there is shame in your space, then honor it. But keep the big picture in mind that one day the book of your life could be open for anyone and everyone to read. And on that day, shame is not going to get you anymore. That is the invitation.
Yeah, no, I hear the idea. The idea for the confidentiality by request then means that, you know, clearly we're here to move beyond shame. I get it. And so if you're not into that conversation today and you still want to keep it, that's fine. That's your request and my request, et cetera. Until, obviously, I'm an open book and I actually know that I'm a book that can be read by all.
Amen.
All right. So number four, presence. I do my utmost to stay in my body and not go into a avoidance. Nice one. We hear an affirmation for number four.
Amen.
And
amen. And also confidentiality by request. Not all of us agreed to it. So could we go back to that?
Yeah, that's an amen on that note as well for me.
Thanks, Emilio. Appreciate you.
Discomfort. Ooh, this is a big one. I am of change. Man, I tell you what, and it gets back to what I was speaking earlier. So the default position is the comfort of the known. What is known? My suffering. So the Paradise Circle invites unease. Can we hear an amen to number five?
Amen.
Amen.
Ooh, looking forward to it. Thanks, Emilio. And number six, clearing space. I check my assumptions when I think something is off. This is good, healthy habit. Can we get an amen on number six?
Yep. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Hey, Michael, can I make a comment about the circle agreements for a second?
Please.
I had a conversation with Maha this morning, probably a half hour, 40 minutes before this call. And I wanted to acknowledge her publicly just in terms of how she modeled these things, clearing space, checking out assumptions, even coming on to talk about inviting the unease of change. And she had called me back to remind me of something during our conversation about permission and trusting when the dark night of the soul moves into fight, flight, freak, or freeze. And there was something in the shadow that I just was not really willing to face at that particular moment, and found myself going into flight and freeze. And Maha had the dignity and the wisdom to pick up the phone to call me and say, hey, brother, this is where you're going. I just want to check in with you. So, Maha, I really appreciate that. And just to anyone else, just listen, these things, these agreements are so critical, and they make sense, and they make even more sense when they're modeled. And so I just wanted to share that. Thank you.
Aww.
Thank you, Emilio. Yeah.
I mean, I am so in love with you when you are so willing to be vulnerable and to speak the truth and to live by agreements. I was considering, I don't know whether it was yesterday, maybe Friday, yes, that these agreements have become the agreement of my life. Like, not only when we're on the phone together, but like all the time, they have changed my life, these six agreements.
Yep.
They have changed my life. And I'm honored by our brotherhood, that to have you as my brother and to be your sister, I'm really honored. And thank you.
Amen. Thank you, Michael, for allowing that.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. This is a sacred space that we walk on at this moment. Speaking of circles, I feel a sacred circle with sage burning around us, and the love that's transmitted out of authenticity is beyond compare. And what that means, because truly, we know what it's like to flight. I do. I mean, Amelia was just talking. I mean, I know how that feels when I'm busted and I just want to say, F you, you know, just leave me alone. I've spent a whole life doing that.
Mm-hmm.
If not out loud in my mind. And that's not going to work if I really know that I want to be loved. I got to stay in the fire and deal with my projections. And a lot of times I don't understand those, nor do I have the tools. And if you're looking for a tool, look, we got an ultimate tool here, truly. And the summary on page 10, I'm going to do it a little bit more concise than what we would normally do. And the way in which I'm going to speak it is that if you truly want to be enlightened, you've got two core possibilities. One possibility is to inquire. When I inquire upon the eye that wants to run away, for example, I know that my higher self does not. My higher self wants the good of all. And when I inquire truly, and when I inquire deeply, and when I inquire honestly, and by the way, those are the only ways that an inquiry can actually be an inquiry, is that they be honest and complete. But when I do that, I come to see immediately that, oh, that was my shadow self. So inquiry is a powerful tool for enlightenment. You know, highly recommend it. The other tool for enlightenment is surrender, which is to really allow what is to be what is. You know, thy will be done, not my will. And these two tools have been introduced and discussed and role modeled by the masters of humanity since the beginning of time. And so what we're looking at here in this radical conversation of the path of expire is that, hey, look, if I need some assistance to surrender, I might need some assistance to inquire. And what we're looking at is a tool based upon nature that helps me to inquire. And that really brings us to really looking at the experience of my communication as the result. I might say I want a new job, but if I don't have a new job, then somewhere my communication is not primary. And so let's now flip to where we were from our last week, where we looked at the topic of a global cosmology, and we began to understand what the observer and the role of the observer is all about from a scientific perspective. And we looked at it in the context of a theater and the dreaming versus awakening understanding, where we completed our conversation to say, hey, look, if I create my reality by observing it, how and why and what is the path to sustaining the sense of enough? So I'm going to pause and see if we have any other summary comments before we take a look at page 19.
Of course, I would have something to add to the fire. This word peda is, and we looked at it in our last show, is written in a disturbing manner. If you look at it, it's like, what the heck is going on with this? And it is to acknowledge a Hebrew word that is known to provide four levels of understanding of the scriptures. So the P ties in one level, and if you look at page 19, the P would be for plainness, the R would be the Hebrew word for clue, the D would be the Hebrew word for logic, and the most important is the secret. And it's, you know, when we speak of secrets in scriptures, what that connects to is computer studies that have been done with the Bible code, mystical studies that have been done for thousands of years by Kabbalists and prophets. Jesus was the codes or the secrets to his disciple and parables to the rest of the world. And that, what we're saying is what you said, Michael. I mean, we can continue talking about the text until we're blue in the face, but what it is out of the observer effect that we're looking at in the text is really ourselves. And so when it comes to secret, it makes it very interesting because it ties to confidentiality by request. What is it that you want to keep confidential? What's your secret? And when we get secrets, then a whole lot of pain follows. So that reach into the dimension of secret of paradise is really what allows us to stay in paradise and in the paradox. So that's, since we're going to speak of the mystery as directed by this page and by Emilio's opening comments, I just thought that I would add that four-dimensional perception of what paradise is about, the four levels of paradise, and how they concern my communication, and not some outward projection onto the Hebrew scriptures out there as much as the Hebrew scriptures, maybe thus far, the most powerful scrying mirror ever.
Yeah, and I'm touched out of the remembrance that I'm sitting with at the moment of how much energy is taken up by secrets, even secrets that I don't know that I don't know. And this is not just about going to confession. You know, it's not about having a, although that certainly might well play a part in it. The real issue here is how much energy is spent keeping stuff secret. And let's deepen that a bit here with our page 19. Thank you for your comments, Maha.
Yeah, so, you were speaking of the Hebrew, and as you were going through this at the bottom of the page, in the paradox, there's a word there, and thus open to plainness. And so as you were speaking of the Hebrew letters, Lamed spoke, and the question that we usually consider with Lamed is, would it release you to ask yourself, what would love do now? And I was looking at the word plainless, and if Lamed shifted, it would be painless. And so it's just kind of interesting to say, wow, these hidden agendas and how to be one with the heart and thus be open to painless, to get a clue and to come to pristine logic. So just by shifting Lamed over, that plainness shifted to painless. And it's just amazing to watch.
That's beautiful. You know, when
Maha was talking about these shows and stuff, you know, we see movies and see letters move, and people think that that's just in the movie, but the letter just moved itself over as I'm sitting here watching the screen. I'm like, wow, okay. So anyway, I digress, but it was just kind of interesting to watch Lamed move.
I love it, Emilio. I'm also seeing painless.
That's what I was saying, yeah.
That's what he said.
Got it. So I hear it now. I didn't hear it. I saw it. I love it. Thank you.
Oh, man. Thank you. Oh, woman. Thank you.
So, Paradise Mystery School, page 19. Yeah, and I'll save my comments about the letters. I had an experience this. Maybe I'll just tell it real quick. I was on my jog this morning, and I got to the station where and by the way, I think Laura's listening as a guest. Whoever we have listening is as a guest today, thank you for being with us. I want to take a moment to acknowledge you. On the topic of my jog, it's kind of funny. I did my sit-ups, and when I do my sit-ups, I go through a recitation of the Hebrew letters, and I envision them in this Kabbalistic formation. And after I got up from the sit-ups and I started picking up my jog again, the letters spoke to me, and what they said, do you not see how we have written the entire cosmos? I found myself asking the question, why would I praise a letter? Why would I give homage, so to speak, to language? And that was the question that occurred to me as I got up from my sit-ups. And then as soon as I started jogging again, they said, do you not see what we have written? Do you not see that you are written by the language of love itself? And it was this aha moment that was irreplaceable. So I wanted to share that idea, kind of beautiful. So here is how to recover my paradise lost when I accept that there is nothing out there, and that any judgment that I make is self-judgment. What I'm reading in the quote-unquote text is the consciousness that I occupy. Interesting. That's what I just said about my jog. Any comments about this opening paragraph here? How are you guys touched by that?
It's such a big one for me. You know, it's like I've worked for years with the work of Mayan Katie. I mean, literally, I met her 22 years ago, and it struck me as being so real. And what she does is four questions and a turnaround. And the turnaround is like when I get to own my judgment. Oh, it's not you, it's me. And what king of movie and emotions, what I find fascinating is how for me it took 22 years, clearly I'm a slow learner, to shift the intellectual understanding of it's not you, it's me, to having the power and the consciousness to be able to say, you know, I'm not saying to you, you are doing X, Y, Z. I am saying, this is what I feel, but this is how I receive it. Is it true? May I check an assumption? Are you actually doing this because that's the way it feels to me? So it's like years and years and years of shadow work and doing the case work and doing all sorts of technology I had learned and coming to understanding by way of XPR of how there's a per-integrating pattern that allows me increasingly to be real. So that touches me very deeply because the dream is like amazing, you know, amazing.
Well,
go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, the point that you spoke, I mean, that's great to be able to do the work post-haste, right, and to be able to come clear and come clean on my projections. Certainly that will deliver me to enlightenment. The fact that I continue to have the judgments, however, means that I haven't learned something yet, right? And so to that point, to be able to have the presence in real time to check an assumption without that coming from a shadow that has communication being unheard, unreceived, the idea here is that we are in a state of power to check assumptions and to generate a space where we can bring forward new generations of solutions, and that's coming through our communication. So thank you for that, Maha. I got another piece from that.
Awesome.
So let's look at what happens when we're in limbo. And this is the idea around our code that we introduced earlier. And essentially, there are 6 days of being in limbo. The first day of being in limbo is when my voice has me feeling forced. And that's known as the screech. When I'm in limbo, my voice is in a screech, I will feel forced by quote-unquote you, which leads my mind, my split mind, to split. And then I actually answer from the shadow. And that limbo is known as the split mind of stupidity, where I keep making the same mistakes. And out of that, my soul becomes lost. And what do I do in a lost soul when I'm in limbo? Self-destruction. These are the addictive habits that plague many of us. And out of that comes the pain body. And out of years, sometimes decades of self-destruction, there's a physical tiredness, a lack of vitality that has my heart feel absolutely broken. And I become more and more irritated. I can't put my finger on it, but my leadership is unable to exercise a sense of wholesome power. And from that, the heart is irritated. And finally, the spirit has just a fallen nature where I just want to quit. I want to get out. I want to go goodbye. These are 6 days of limbo. Can anybody relate to those?
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
How about you, Emilio? You recognize limbo?
I recognize limbo. Where they would hold a stick and you would go under. Is that was that wasn't limbo? Was that? I'm just trying to.
It used to be the golem, but actually it works perfectly well in polarity to paradise. So, yeah, you're very accurate.
It used to be
something else. Emilio's correct.
No, I was talking. What I was thinking about was the dance limbo, where you, and usually you would see it in Caribbean islands or somewhere where it was how low could you go, and then limbo is just really forcing the body and forcing everything. And so when I see feeling force, that's the image that I get doing this limbo dance. And Michael, as you were talking, I was thinking about the whole notion of the stupidity. Once I say yes to no voice and feeling force, then nothing seems to make sense. There's no logic in anything, and there's a sense of stupidity that rages there because I'm just out there, and it just personifies just being in limbo. But those are the two things that touched me as you were through this fractal. Absolutely.
Yeah, and the other thing about the limbo, thank you for that, Amelia, because I remember, you know, my son, he enjoys roller skating, and they do it on skates as well, or do the limbo. What you're doing is you're going under a stick, right? So how low can a stick go? And in this technology, stick is associated with the element of wood, right? And the wood is the fallen angel that's with me the whole time that I'm going down. So even in our technology, the metaphor of wood is there to help me to go down and to retrieve the fragments to come into paradise. So I appreciate that metaphor, Emilio.
Gorgeous.
So if I want to move into paradise out of limbo, where I feel forced, in paradise I learn to engage the mystery. And what is the mystery? It's just right here. It's right inside of my own communication. And out of the agreement to enter the mystery, instead of quitting, I will progressively move into truth as what is. And out of that learning to accept truth instead of quitting, I am beginning to hear the secret. So instead of feeling irritated by you and allowing those projections to bother me, I start to progressively unlock the secret, and that helps me to really present a embodied plain solution and to move beyond the tiredness of the pain body into the plainness of chopping wood and carrying water. Instead of self-destruction, I'm now open to feeling the clue of a soul that is pure. And finally, I end up in, and my screen just went blank. So, Amelia, would you walk us through the last one?
This coming back into a mind that is pure in logic, that's operating ordered and sensed as the engineer of it all. That brings me back to where I started, going into the depths and the void of the mystery. And what I really like, and when you look at the symmetry of the way the fractal is, and even the description of limbo and paradise in those two words on the far left, the symmetry brings dead center the clue, and it's in the clue where the answer is. It's because while it's all a part of everything that's here, the clue is the paradise that was lost, the ability to be able to feel, to come back to a place where I lost the ability to feel. And it's in the center of it all that brings me back to that logic from the engineer and the plainness of the officer.
Wonderful. Thank you, Emilio. I appreciate that. Maha, what are you sensing at the moment?
In the moment, I disconnected a little bit, so I'm recommitting to being present. I was thinking of the word stupidity as being rooted on stupor and thinking how that ties to the freeze, where I'm stupefied. I'm like rendered stone. And I have the logic. It's like, well, you know, what do you choose to do? Because ultimately, whether consciously or unconsciously, I'm going to make a choice. And just the logic of that question touches me. So that's where I went.
Well, thank you for that, because the word freeze touched me when I was reading it earlier. And I do hear how stupidity, and I like the connection to stupor, which is mental torpor, apathy, stupefaction, suspension of great diminution of sensibility. You know, I have to really and truly look at how rigid many of these mental patterns are, these indoctrinated identities that I carry with me until I don't, that have me freeze when I ought be flowing like water, to bring it back to Emilio's idea of the soul, and how if the logic is pure enough, which in my judgment, the path of expire offers a logic that makes it safe for my mind to freeze while I learn to feel. And, you know, truly, let's talk about a muscle that requires some degree of exercise. I know for me, I've had more than a few dozen examples where I've been stupefied, but also remembering the mystery that I've made an agreement to decode within myself, and how logic invariably builds a path out of the stupidity. It's really it's a fascinating phenomena. I'm curious if this idea is connecting for you guys.
Well, the comment that Maha just made, a comment, and I'm seeing some different words here. There's stupor, there's stupidity, there's stupefied. And stupefied, in that word, it seems to fit. I know there's root in a lot of it. It seems to fit more apropos to, based on definition, because if something leaves you stupefied, it makes you so astonished that you can't speak or think. It stops you right there. So it's not a degree or necessarily a judgment of stupidity. It's you're frozen. You're stuck right there. And it was one ridiculous definition. So it says when your husband backs over your foot and then drives back over it trying to get out of the way, and in the process hits the front of the house, you might feel stupefied. But so I think that word has something to add to this, because there's literally a mental block. It's just, duh, there's nothing there.
Yeah, so let's connect that to our mystery school that we began with, Emilio. Would you take us through the why of the Paradise Mystery School?
Well, one has said that the only answer to why is because. The why of the Paradise Mystery School is to dispel the confusion induced by the quote-unquote God label, whose abstraction keeps me bound to the illusion of separation. This goes back to the first quote at the top. In my hearing, when I accept that there's nothing out there, and to dispel the confusion induced by the God label, whether it's God is coming in clouds, white sheets and apron, coming back to save me in the by and by, but to dispel the confusion that's induced by that label and keep me looking for something out there, as opposed to knowing that everything is present, that that's what the why of the Paradise Mystery School is, as I read it, to help me go into the mystery, to dispel that level of confusion.
so easy to fall into the indoctrinated vision of an evil out there and to keep alive the idea that they did it. And that reinforces this topic that we've been looking at today. Thank you, Emilio. Ma, you want to walk us through the second one, unless you have any comments about the why?
Yes, and yes. So comment about the why. I am fascinated, like I was saying at the beginning of the call, how I'm moving out of being a pleaser. And the belief underneath the identity is I am obliged to you. If not, you're going to abandon me. And we know from Eastern philosophies that, and also Hebrews scriptures, that in Sanskrit, namaste means the divine in me salutes the divine in you. So, in other words, when I feel obliged by you, what I am saying, and obligated to do X, Y, Z, and to please you because you're you, what I am saying is the God of you, which I recognize as being a God who is somehow not letting me be because I need to be in a specific way that is not my nature to fit your agendas. And that's how big the God label is. That whether it is money, family, food, sex that I'm having problem with, whether it is you, whatever mask I wear when I relate with you, it ultimately can be tracked at not recognizing that the divine in you is also in me, and not recognizing that the divine in me is also in you. So that's namaste in Sanskrit scriptures, that's shalom in the Hebrew scriptures. The two greetings are absolutely equivalent, and we keep on being confused. So that brings the how. And maybe I keep on being confused, although less and less. The how of the Paradise Mystery School is to use the exact place in the decoding that are perplexing to my mind as clues to hidden agenda and secrets. Must be my secret day today. Delaying the understanding and the peace that I seek. So, yeah, amen, brother. Thank you for the sound. That's so right on. Because it's like, okay, I'm confused. I think it's you, and I'm unable to shift my experience to speaking as an I. I think God is out there rewarding me, punishing me. And I need to please if I want to be rewarded. If not, I'm going to be punished. So now, how are we going to get out of that mess? We already saw that the word paradise is four different worlds, parallel worlds of understanding. Plainness and painless is physical. Clue is emotional. Logic is the mental world. Secret is the spiritual understanding that we reach into when we own it. So if there's something I don't understand, and it goes back to what you started with, Michael, if I am not at peace, there is something I'm confused about. I don't get it. Let's use that as the revealing of my hidden agenda. Let's go there. bravely, courageously. And if we look at quantum physics and classical physics, currently our physicists are not understanding how to reconcile two theories. If we look at the Hebrew Bible, currently there are a whole lot of devotees, and I put myself in that bag when I said that I used to be a thief. I couldn't understand the Ten Commandments. You seem to be clear. Thou shalt not steal. Couldn't get that simplicity. So now we have the Bible as a scrying mirror. Let's go into the Ten Commandments, because clearly they're not landing individually and collectively. And maybe we can come to the global understanding from the having the understanding peace that we seek. So that is my
Thank you, Mahai. I mean, this is exactly what I was feeling earlier. You know, if I'm truly connected to the God self within, I'm not going to want to steal from you. I'm not going to want to sleep with your oxen or your wife. I'm not going to want to kill you. I'm going to want to love you. And a lot of that deals with, am I willing to check an assumption? Right? Instead of killing you mentally, can I just, with that topic, let's look at the what. So we've looked at the why, we've looked at the how, the what of the Paradise Mystery School. The what is to resonate. Ooh, I love that word. Resonate, to vibrate. To vibrate with the wisdom that sustains the behavior of love, thereby allowing congruency between what I know I am to do and what I actually do. Wow, this to me, it's hitting on all the cylinders. I'm picturing a big old Alice Chambers tractor plowing across the field, and all of the cylinders of that tractor are plowing. It's just doing the next right thing. Chop wood, carry water, love the neighbor. And this, my friend.
I love that you say that. Chop your wood, carry water, love the neighbor. I love it.
That's right.
The Michael version.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And by the way, welcome to a couple folks that we have in the Empowering Now Blog Talk chat room, Dream Master and Guest 277. We're glad that you're with us. Go ahead, Amelia. What were you saying?
Oh, I just listening to what you were saying. It's literally impossible to resonate with the wisdom that sustains the behavior of love if I don't inquire and understand the mystery of the foolishness that sustains the behavior of the ego. And so, because there's an understanding of that, because that part of it is so ingrained that it's the me that I think that I am that takes me away from sustaining of the behavior of love. And so that brings us back to the whole inquiry and the purpose and the why and the how that gets me to the what.
Amen.
Yeah.
Right on.
Very, 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 very true. Yeah, and I'm keying in on resonate. You know, there's so much that's coming into my consciousness right now. You know, when I quit my corporate job to be a holistic healer, the reason that I did so was because the only time that I could experience surrender was when I was in a session with somebody, and I laid my hands on them. And I just said, look, I don't know what it is, why it is that I'm having to be a holistic healer right now. Let me hear the voice of love, and I'm open to it. And that level of surrender, that level of not knowing what it was that I'm supposed to do or be, but the utter willingness to be who I am, is a vibration. And what I feel is that each of us has a code. It gets back to where we began. What is the mystery? Hey, dude, hey, ladies, I don't know what your mystery is. But if you're not able to speak with certainty, and if you're not able to have a result that matches what you say you want, the invitation is to enter the mystery of you. Because until you do it, then you won't have it. And if you are happy with what you have, then keep on having. And if you'd like to have more, please know that you're invited to join us, which really reminds me, we've got a new class that's opening up. We've got a few slots, and not a lot, but we do have a few slots that are open for a class that's beginning in October. If you're interested in knowing more about that class, please feel free to reach out to one of us. You're going to have to do a little research. We didn't make it hard for you to find us, but we're not going to, you know, we're not interested in selling you anything. So if you are interested in our course material, look us up, reach out, and we'd be happy to share with you. So my key word today is I am enough. That's how I feel. That's what I've received out of our class today is a deep sense of enough. What did you receive today, Maha?
The mystery. I am amazed of how just willing to abide by his six agreements allows the mystery to express, and then I can be with it and see its magnitude and its absolute beauty.
Thank you so much, Maha. Ooh, beauty.
Mm-hmm.
Emilio, what did you receive out of the Paradise Mystery School conversation?
When you were speaking about the mystery of you, there's a song, something that came to me, and I won't go through the whole thing, but it says, you always said we'd meet again. You always said you'd be there. You touched the deepest part of me, the places I could not see. Just tell me why I'm so dark inside. Somewhere I will find all the pieces torn apart you just left behind in your mystery and in the mystery of you. And it's just, and so I don't know what led me to that, but it sounded like, wow, that should be a song. And the mystery of me, when I say that it's all written, it is. I need to discover and uncover to discover the mystery of me. And there's an unfolding just like a flower petal, and the laws of nature would show me. There's a mystery to me, and amen. So I'm blessed.
Ah, beautiful, beautiful. What an experience. Thank you for all the guests that were listening remotely, and if you're listening in the future or the past, thank you. Keep coming back. We're here right now in the press.
Or now.
We look forward to the next
I love
step.
The laughter.
We've got a couple more shows coming up this month. Look us up online, empoweringnow.com. And big love, connections to all.
Bye-bye.